We have in this passage the story of Achan, which I know many of you are familiar with. But this story teaches us an amazing lesson about confession. It's interesting how the Lord chose these situations at the beginning of something to kind of start things off with a lesson. He did the same thing with Ananias and Sapphira at the beginning of the church, showing us how much he hates lying. And here, just as Israel is going into the promised land, they've had their first victory at Jericho. And then they have their first failure at the second city they went to take, which was the city of Ai. And the reason they had the failure was because of Achan's sin. And so God made an example of Achan, just like he made an example of Ananias and Sapphira. And we can learn a lot from this example here in Joshua 7. So notice in verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Down in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Down in verse 26, And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So I've entitled the message, Give Glory and Make Confession. Give glory and make confession. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we go to your word this morning, we pray you'd use it in our lives to teach us and to grow us and to change us. Lord, we believe in its power. We believe the Holy Spirit is here with us now. And Lord, we trust as we open our hearts that you will speak to each one of us personally. Lord, may Jesus Christ our Savior be glorified. And may the Holy Ghost guide us into truth. We ask all this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you can see, it was a very intense time. And the result, of course, was quite intense and sad in a lot of ways. But again, the Lord was teaching Israel a lesson. They're just going into the promised land. We know the story of Jericho, where they marched around the city seven times and the walls fell flat when they blew the trumpets, and they went in and they took the first city, one of the greatest cities in the region that was going to be their land. And they were, if you will, they were kind of riding on a bit of a high. And they went to Ai. Ai was a much smaller place. They didn't send as many soldiers. They knew God was with them, and they went and they lost the battle. And 36 Israelites died in that battle. Let's not forget that number. 36 people died. And Joshua came to the Lord and said, basically, what's going on? We're coming into the promised land. This is your will. You're with us. And here we fail at the second battle. You know, you told us you'd be with us and we would win these battles and we would take this land and that you promised us this land. And that's when God said, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. And until you get the sin out, I'm not going to be with you. And you can't win the battles. Which, of course, there's a lot of other lessons in there as well, that if God's not with us, we're not going to win the battles. But the whole point of this message today is about the importance of confession. And what we see, seven things I found in this passage about confession. The first thing here in verse number one is that God already knows. So if there's things in our lives that we haven't confessed, we haven't dealt with like we should as Christians, there's really no reason to be that way because God already knows about it. There's no surprises for God. God knows everything. The Bible says, even our secret sins in the light of thy countenance in Psalm 90, verse 8. God knows everything. There are no secrets. God doesn't want us to confess sin so that we can tell him something that we don't know about. He wants us to confess sin because that's the right thing to do because he's holy. And we're not. And we're acknowledging, as we'll see later, when we do confess sin, that he is right and we're wrong. And that brings him glory. But it all starts with this understanding that God already knows. And so trying to keep secrets from God is a waste of time and it's completely counterproductive for our Christian walk. And that's how it started there. The Bible says there in verse 1, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel, even though the majority of the children of Israel didn't even know what it was about. They didn't know why God was angry. Matter of fact, nobody knew except for one man, the man that sinned. Achan and God. But God knew. And I'm sure he had an attitude that, well, there was a lot of stuff in Jericho. A lot of riches. I just took a little tiny bit. But the point is that when God sent them in, he said, whatever you do, you're not allowed to take anything. That's mine. And it wasn't that God needed it. He wanted them to learn. And Achan said, well, I'm just going to take a little bit. And I wonder how much we're taking from God of the time that he's given us, of the talents that he's given to us. And we think it's just a little bit. But the main point of verse 1 is that God already knows. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So in this matter of confession, the most important thing to understand, God already knows. You know, David said in Psalm 51:3, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. I'm acknowledging what I've done, not so that God is surprised, but because it's the right thing to do. But the second thing, and this is really important, notice verse 10. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. I want you to think about that phrase this morning. One man took some stuff. A man named Achan. There, most people estimate there were about 3 million Israelites at this point. And God says, Israel hath sinned. That's pretty powerful when you think about it. That one man caused a country, they weren't a country yet, or a nation of 3 million people to lose a battle. And because of one man's sin, 36 soldiers died in the battle at Ai. Oh, it was just 36. Yeah, we'll tell that to their families. 36 soldiers died because one man sinned. Go to Joshua 22. Where God recounts this through Joshua later on, toward the end of Joshua's life. Joshua 22, verse 20. Look what it says. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. What does he mean by that? Perished not alone. 36 soldiers died. That's what he means. And as we'll see later, so did his family. His whole family was stoned and burnt too, not just Achan. Say, wow, that's pretty intense, pretty major. Well, God hates sin. God wants us to understand He hates sin. He hates it so much He was willing to come and die for it on Calvary. God hates sin. And you know, there's a New Testament example. If you go to 1 Corinthians 5, you might say, oh, well, that's Israel. But there was a church named the church at Corinth, probably the most carnal church of all the local churches that Paul wrote a letter to. And Paul reminds them here in 1 Corinthians 5 that there was one man in their church, and it was a fairly large church. One man in the church at Corinth was sinning, publicly sinning. He was bringing reproach on the name of the church. He was living with his mother-in-law, and everybody knew about it. And I want you to see what Paul had to say here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication and is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this thing might be taken away from among you. For I verify, as absent in the spirit, but present in the spirit, absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And point number two is our sin always affects others. One man sinned, 36 soldiers died. One man sinned at Corinth, the whole church had to be rebuked. And as Paul said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The point is, we don't sin on an island as Christians. And God knows anyways, number one, but number two, when we sin, it affects those around us. It affects our family. It can affect our church. It affects others. And one man sinned and it affected others. The third thing we see in verse 12 and 13, and we understand this from other scriptures, and that is that sin limits our victory. Notice it says, therefore, verse 12, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until, there's the key, until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Who's in charge of the battles in the end? You see, Israel had this, hey, we're finally in the promised land. This is what God's will is. This is the land He's told us we can have. Let's go take it. And God's trying to teach them, you're only going to take the land as long as I'm with you. You're only going to win battles as long as I'm on your side. And that is true in the Christian life as well. Notice up in verse 4, the Bible says, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. 3,000 soldiers went up to take this little village, and they lost. That's a lot of soldiers. And sin limits our victory. We know this. Isaiah 59. The Lord's hand is not heavy that it cannot save, neither is His ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. It is a theme all throughout the Scriptures. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. All through the Scriptures we see this theme that sin limits victory with God. And God is teaching Israel this lesson early on in their new existence as a nation about to have their own land. Sin limits victory. And it's still true today for you and me that sin limits victory. In the Old Testament, when the priest entered the holy place, he had to be clean first. God was teaching them even then. When we enter God's presence, we need to enter clean. How do we get clean? We got to confess. We got to deal with the sin. How do we know what sin we need to deal with? Don't be concerned about that. The Holy Spirit will take care of it. If you ask, He'll answer. And the Holy Spirit will point out whatever needs to be dealt with. There's no secrets there. That's God uses our conscience. So the third thing we see is that it limits our victory, sin does. And the fourth thing, verse 14, is sin will find us out. We might be able to keep it secret for a little while from others, but eventually it's going to catch up to us if we don't deal with it. And notice it says, in the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And we know what he talks about here in verse 14. He says, the Lord is going to point out which family sinned. It's the same as with David. David thought he got away with it, with Bathsheba, didn't he? And with Uriah. He thought, I covered it up. I've taken her as my own wife. I had her husband killed. We're all good. I'm an apple of God's eye. I'm a man after God's own heart. Except that he sinned, and he hadn't dealt with it. And God had to send Nathan to say, thou art the man. And by the way, I'm going to punish you for what you did. You're going to lose your child. That's pretty intense. Our sin will find us out. Numbers 32:23, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. That verse we teach to kids. Sometimes we as adults, we don't believe it. We think we can keep it a secret. We think we can hide it. Think we can hold it in. We can't. We need to get rid of it. We need to confess it. We need to give it to God. We need to forsake it. And if we don't, our sin will find us out. That's the way with sin. Either we deal with it, or God's going to deal with it. You know, Achan could have come to Joshua after what he had done there in Jericho and said, I'm so sorry, I was wrong. I lusted after this stuff and I took it, and here, I give it back. Now, we don't know what would have happened, but that would have been the right thing to do. And you know, the right thing to do with sin is to come to God and say, Lord, I was wrong. I confess what I did. If we don't do that, God's eventually going to bring us to the point where we have to confess. It's called chastisement. And that's the fifth point here, verse 15. He says, he shall be burnt with fire. Now, that's some pretty intense chastisement. If we had to face that kind of chastisement, the room would be empty. Amen? There'd be nobody here. We'd all be dead. Because we all sin. But God will deal with sin. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and we'll see this. And God always is going to take care of it if we don't. Because you know what? God loves us. God's a good father. God's always going to do what's best for us. Including chastising us when we won't listen. Look at verse 5 of Hebrews 12. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If we don't deal with it, God will. That's the fifth thing. But number six, verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession." When we confess our sin, it brings glory to God. And that's the beautiful point of this whole passage. Now, Achan's going to die anyway. That's the sad part. But when we confess, in the majority of cases, in 99.98% of the cases, we're not going to die as a result, because God's merciful and patient with his children. Praise God. But it brings him glory. Why? Because again, it's acknowledging that God is right and we are wrong. It's acknowledging that we understand that sin limits victory, that we understand that God knows everything, that we understand that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about this thing and we haven't dealt with it. It brings God glory. You know, David said in Psalm 51:2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And what do we claim? 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But that's an if-then statement, isn't it? There's an if. If we confess. It starts with us. Achan didn't confess until he was forced to confess. We don't want to take it to that point, do we? We need to confess it now and avoid the problems that are going to follow if we don't. But it brings glory to God. We're acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Right? 1 Timothy 1:5. We're acknowledging that God is right. God is holy. God is righteous. We are sinners. We've broken God's ways. We've broken God's law. And we're sorry. And that brings God glory. You know, some of the most powerful words in the English language for any Christian is "I was wrong" or "I'm sorry." That's true in interpersonal relationships, isn't it? It's true in marriage. Some of the most powerful words you can say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry." It's the same with our relationship with God. Some of the most powerful words we can say, "I was wrong. I'm sorry." All these couples are smiling. I do offer marital counseling. And number 7, verse 26. The Bible says, "The Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger." Number 7, when we deal with the sin, the fellowship is restored. Isn't that beautiful? You know what happens over in chapter 8 of Joshua? Verse 1. "The Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai." By the way, this is the same place where they lost. "See, I've given it into thy hand, the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." Anyway, if you look down in verse 25. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. And if you read through, you know how many soldiers fell in Israel? Zero. How about that? Have you ever heard of a battle where 12,000 on one side lost, or the one side lost 12,000, the other side lost zero? That just doesn't happen, does it? But if God's in it, it does. What changed? Same city. What changed was God was with them. And that's what's going to happen in our Christian lives, is if we deal with the sin that the Holy Spirit keeps trying to point out, keeps trying to tell us to deal with, if we deal with it, then the fellowship is restored, and now God's with us. And we can win those battles that we've been struggling with. But as Joshua said, give glory to God. Make confession. It brings glory to God when we make confession. And thankfully, it's not something we have to do publicly, typically, like Achan did. Although there are situations where that has to happen, but typically it's just us and God in our prayer closet. Praise the Lord. We don't have to go to a priest and confess. We go to our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess. And then God deals with it. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Now, does God have to do that? No. God could just withdraw His presence. He could withdraw His power because we won't listen and say, that's it. You can just live a miserable Christian life until you finish. But He doesn't do that. No, if we'll confess it, the fellowship's restored. It's back clean again. And even if we don't, God's going to work in our lives through whatever means He sees fit to bring us to the point where we have to confess it and deal with it, and then the fellowship's restored. Or we can just take it as far as we can possibly take it, like the man in 1 Corinthians 5, and say, no, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to obey God. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And then God finally might say, well, I can't leave you on the earth anymore. I'm going to have to just bring you home because you just won't listen. I don't think any of us want to take it that far. But let's not be like Achan and think we can keep secrets from God. Let's instead bring Him glory and confess. But it starts with us. Remember that. It always starts with us. The Holy Spirit is going to do what the Holy Spirit does. And every time we go to get alone with God, every time we go into the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's just going to keep reminding us, you haven't dealt with this. And then we just keep saying, I'll deal with it later. And the Holy Spirit's just going to keep saying, you need to deal with it now. And if we'll deal with it now, the fellowship's restored. If we don't, well, we see what happens. So it brings glory to God when we confess. He already knows, as we saw in number one. Our sin can affect others, as we saw in number two. Sin limits our victory, number three. Our sin will find us out, number four. We will face chastisement if we don't deal with it. And it brings glory to God. And if we'll deal with it, number seven, the fellowship and the victory returns. Give glory and make confession. Let's pray.